You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello one and all. Welcome along to the latest edition of the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall in situ here in the William Hill studio to look ahead to what is a fantastic week of golf with the Dubai Desert Classic on the European Tour and the Farmers Insurance Open on the PGA Tour. Dave, a warm welcome to you, sir.
Hello and hello to one and all here in situ. You like that intro?
Yeah, I do like that intro. I'm looking forward to this week. Can't wait to get
it's a good
in.
One, isn't it?
Oh, it's one of the best weeks away from the major championships, isn't it? Because you've got two huge events on both tours.
Yeah, and even the timings are good because if you want to absolutely immerse yourself in golf, you can watch the early coverage from Dubai. That's if you're in the UK, and then switch to the American and California's West Coast.
Yeah, I can't wait for it. Let's talk about last week first of all, though, and Lee Westwood winning once again on the European Tour, now a winner in four different decades. I was trying to work out whether he's the first man to do that. I couldn't find out definitively, but I think he is.
Well, I just checked Gary Player just then and only got to 50s, 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's someone.
There must be. 46 years old now. Lee Westwood. I wonder whether a return to Augusta's on his mind and whether he's thinking possibly even Ryder Cup now after having said in the past that his days of playing in the Ryder Cup were definitely over.
Yeah.
He might have it in the back of his mind.
He was asked, wasn't he, straight away, Ryder Cup, and he kind of went, I don't know, because he enjoyed just being a vice-captain last time. Hard to say, isn't it, really, what sort of form he'll be in by then. But if he's automatic, then he's automatic, isn't he? So,
yeah, it just proves that when the ball striking's on, or the ball striking is often on, and if the putter heats up for Westwood, he can still contend in big events.
Yeah, I mean, I watched most of that final round, and he just, you know, he looked like he'd been winning from the front forever and a day, and never, you know, no buckling at all. I think he missed one putt on 16, but apart from that, every time he had a little tester, in it went, and it's not always what we associate with Lee Westwood sometimes, but he just never looked like losing that tournament.
I wonder whether he'll have one more shot at a major championship.
I think so, yeah.
Do you think so,
yeah? Definitely.
Okay.
And obviously that is Shane Lowry when Abu Dhabi went on to win the Open. I think Westwood's always got plenty of chances. It's not like, you know, maybe someone like Bubba, it's the Masters and maybe what else, but I think Westwood, in theory, suits lots of major tracks.
Yeah, decent event for us from a punting perspective as well. Victor Perez came with a wet sail.
Well done for that, yeah.
Yeah, he grabbed a full 66. Place at 66. Yeah. And you had Sean Norris, which I think we both kind of guffawed at the end of the podcast. I know when someone mentioned that they were listening to the podcast and when it came to summing up the selections.
Michael Wood, wasn't it, our colleague,
who said...
I'd started to make a good case, and then I started laughing at the end.
Yeah,
it still counted as a tip, I'll have you know.
He split a place at 150-1, which was very
tie.
Nice.
I mean, inevitably, I played that silly game of, if only he hadn't shot a second round 77, and if it had just been par, then he would have tied. Obviously, life doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
But, I thought he did well, and it's kind of justified the decision that he was that's a bit of a silly price for what he's done.
And we saw another Skinner on the PGA Tour in that event.
Yes.
With Andrew Landry, a bit of a bolt from the blue. He had finished second in the event a couple of years ago, but it was a string of missed cuts in the lead-up. And it just shows you on those resort-style courses, almost anyone can contend.
He did, I must say, he did make my shortlist. Problem was that was a shortlist of 23 players.
Yeah. I didn't have my eye on him at all, I must admit.
I think I listed players who had played already in Hawaii somewhere.
Yeah.
He'd played the Sony, had got a bit of course form. He was runner-up there 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And maybe just the fact that he was American, because Americans always win that.
Mm.
So he did come down to a list of 23 players, but then I looked at his current form and it was woeful, so he quickly went one of the first to go.
He wobbled a little bit on the back nine, didn't he, with those three consecutive bogeys having been in full command, but birdie on 17 was clutch, I thought, and he held on from Scotty Scheffler, who looks to have a massive future, and Abraham Anser, who will win sooner, you'd imagine.
Yeah, those two, I mean, they were the kind of the two that would have made a bit of sense, because Anser was brilliant in the President's Cup. Scheffler's, you know, came onto the tour at the back end of last year with a massive reputation. He's delivering, isn't he? Basically, just needs a win, a bit of like a sort of like a Sung Jae-im. We know he's going to win and he keeps playing well, but it's just not happened yet.
Let's talk about this week then. We'll start with the Omega Dubai Desert Classic on the European Tour. Tommy Fleetwood heads the betting at 15-2. And Matthew Fitzpatrick is 11-1. Louis Oosthuizen in the betting at 12s. Sergio Garcia and Henrik Stenson both 20s with William Hill. Bernd Wiesberger, Shane Lowry, Bryson DeChambeau, all 25s. 28-1 Victor Perez and Thomas Peters, 30-1, and bigger the rest. I felt a little bit poorly when I saw Victor Perez at 28-1 this week, having been 66-1 last week. I suppose it's justified, isn't it? But
yeah, it's hard to sort of.
It's just,
well, I don't know, if you've won on him at 66, is there an element where you think, well, I'll just leave a few chips on the table, or can you just not do it?
Not that sort of price.
Sort of grounds.
On value grounds.
Yes.
It's pretty difficult to differentiate between some of these events in the desert. This one is a little bit shorter than last week's test in Abu Dhabi, and the key has been conquering the par fives on this layout. That's what Bryson DeChambeau did last year. He romped to a seven-stroke victory, but comes into this on the back of a miscut in Abu Dhabi, and it's tough to recommend a bet on DeChambeau, even though he was so impressive last year. I look at par five scoring on this track, and I look at birdie average. You've got to make loads, haven't you?
Yeah. Do you were talking about you aren't the biggest Lee Westwood fan, you were telling me.
Yeah, off air.
Yeah. Well, on air, I'm going to say I'm not the biggest Bryson DeChambeau fan.
Oh, I like Bryson DeChambeau, yeah.
On what grounds?
I just like the fact that he's annoying all the golf traditionalists with like doing his Twitch stuff with the on the computer games, and he's getting to that little bit of I think it's manufactured friction with Brooks Koepka.
Right.
It wouldn't surprise me if they're all in on this, because everyone's talking about the little spat they're having, and then DeChambeau says, you haven't even got a six-pack, and then Koepka retaliated with that picture of the four major championships saying he's just two off the six-pack.
Yeah.
And I think they're both playing the game, I think.
Right, okay.
What do you reckon? Why don't you like him?
I don't know. He sort of peddles this scientist thing too much. You think, yeah, mate, all right. It's like other players do things differently, and it becomes a bit, I don't know.
Tiresome.
Comes a bit tiresome and irritating. And then, so he puts on, what, £30 or something.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, really? And then did you see him trying to hit the ball? He was absolutely launching himself at it 100
right, okay.
miles an hour.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I've not seen that clip. Is he talking about the amount of distance he's added with the driver?
So it was already long enough, and then he wanted to beef up to, you know, hit it further. So when he sort of misses a cut, there's that nasty bit of me that thinks, well, serves you right, mate. I don't know whether this will...
Is he not just trying to improve himself, though, Dave?
Yeah, but it's kind of what... When he played this event last year and won, he was world number five.
Yeah.
So what was he doing so wrong then? Why is he now...
Yeah, no, I get that.
...beefed up?
I mean, he's world number 17 now, is he, I think?
World number 17. And I read some comments about Dubai last year, and he said, oh, I love Dubai. It's got like a five guys in the mall.
All right.
Well, not surprising you put on a load of weight. I keep eating that stuff. But...
Are you doing veganuary?
No. I've had a Greg's vegan sausage roll.
Have you?
I did like it, actually, which I surprised myself because...
Did you not think you would?
I thought I liked things to taste nice.
Yeah.
And I feared I'd just be eating cardboard.
Feared the
worst. But it was nice.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know, DeChambeau, it is...
He didn't tempt me this week at 25.
In theory, someone sort of, you know, pushing the boundaries and doing things a different way, I should Yeah, be drawn to,
you're
but
the
I'm
sort
not
of person that would embrace that.
Yeah,
sort
but
of thing.
I'm not. For I think okay. because he sort of shouts about it so much.
Do you think he's too smug with it?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's fair.
But as for this week, as for this is a betting podcast rather than a lifestyle one. As for him putting, well, all that thing when you put on a load of weight, it affects rhythm and timing, doesn't it? So it's not.
We've seen.
So you're saying he's trying to better himself. Is that going to help?
I think he's trying to. Maybe he's
is
trying
he just
to,
trying to win a load on long American courses or something?
Possibly. I'm not sure what his ultimate goal is, but I presume he wants to dominate the golfing landscape, and this is the best way. Well, this is the way he thinks that he can do it.
Plus the slow
by beefing up.
Yeah.
And,
plus
and
the slow
putting on more distance
play stuff.
Yeah. That's frustrating.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, I understand that.
And yet, I quite like Patrick Reed just because he's so the other way.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. Yeah. But 25-1, not for you on DeChambeau.
I don't know, because last week he's missed the cut, but his record in Abu Dhabi is pretty terrible.
Yeah.
I think he's got like a 60th and 2 missed cuts, so I don't know how much we draw into that. This, and yet, for the new beefed up DeChambeau, maybe last week should have been a better fit. It's longer course.
Yeah.
But clearly this one he likes because he won it last year and he was 18th as an amateur. You just wonder whether last year how much was down to him being world number 5 and in absolutely fantastic form. Mm. So I can kind of see if someone made if someone said 25 is a good price, you know, I wouldn't particularly say, oh no, it's not.
Yeah, you wouldn't balk at that.
No.
Just to move away from the lifestyle stuff momentarily, did you see the image that was tweeted of, I think it's probably tweeted every single time the Dubai Desert Classic is on, but the picture from the 90s compared to now.
Of
where
how it looks.
And where it was just that, it's just that golf course, isn't it? That's basically the first thing they work on in Dubai when they're developing Dubai, and it's just a golf course.
And
it's unbelievable how it's developed in the last, 25 years.
You ever been to Dubai?
No, I've never been.
No,
I've never been.
Either.
I've never even fancied it. It's just a manufactured beach, isn't it? Basically.
Yeah, I've never been.
Not for me at all.
But I don't want to say I don't want to go in case there's someone from the Dubai Tourist Board.
That's a very, very fair point.
And I love the place.
Maybe they could change my mind about Dubai.
Yes.
And
yeah.
That's
the way of putting it.
I'd be able to tweet and write about it afterwards. I'm looking at aggressive golfers take advantage of the par fives. And Ben Coley said in his piece it was very difficult to get away from players you'd selected in Abu Dhabi. And there are obviously massive similarities. But yeah, I'm looking for aggression off the tee and players that make plenty of birdies this week.
Yeah.
Seems an obvious fit.
That seems fair enough.
I've got two picks, actually.
Yeah, me too.
Do you want to go first?
Well, have you seen the weather forecast? It looks very windy to me, especially as the weekend approaches.
Yeah.
So that played into my thinking, although not that that's a pure reason for backing Henrik Stenson at 20-1.
Yeah.
I like that price on him because it's almost like they've forgotten that he won the
Hero World Challenge
in fantastic, pure Stenson-like style.
Yeah.
By looking like a robot who could never hit a bad shot. I thought he was fantastic in that event. And even though you can say, oh, yeah, it's an 18-man field, time and time again, players who've won that event have then gone on to have a really nice season, a big season, and won events. And obviously,
that's a big. Well, there's the best players in the world. You're still beating the best, aren't you?
I know it's an
invitational event.
Yeah,
but it must give these players a lot of confidence.
Yeah, they're sort of going to Christmas. And then he has come out and played since then. And in theory, it doesn't look amazing. He played in the Singapore Open and was tied 23rd, but he closed with a 66. So I like the fact that he left there on a bit of a high. I think maybe that just threw a bit of Christmas rust off. And then here he is back in Dubai where he lived for 10 years. He's won this event. He's had God knows how many top 10s. Mm. And they're not just from like 2008 and stuff. The last three of the last 4 years, six. So he can start fast. And even if he hadn't played in Singapore, that idea that, especially that maybe the older guys can't just come out after a long break. Well, we've just seen Westwood do it. We saw Tiger do it in Japan.
Yeah.
They can't they? So I think he'll just be fresh and ready to go, Henrik Stenson, and just can't get out of my head how well he played in the Bahamas. I think if he can just summon up some of that play
yeah.
and Open champion, clearly plays well in the wind. I think he'll handle it as well as anyone. I thought he'd be in at sort of 16s here, so 20s, I was very happy to pull the trigger.
Okay, Stenson 20-1, Dave's number one selection. I'm going with, further down the betting, 66-1, Matthias Schwab is my number one selection here. Quite a low-key return to action for Schwab last week, but I do like him for this week. He's ideally suited to this slightly shorter test, and his prowess on the par 5 stands out. He ranked 17th last season in par 5 scoring, which, given the number of par 5s he played, was no mean feat. And he seems to have just have drifted to a really attractive price based on that one performance last week. But I'd like to think that's shaken off the rust. It was his seasonal reappearance. And this is a guy with 6 top 10s in his last 11 events, all told, including 2 runner-up finishers. I expect him to go very well this week, and I like the fact that he's just gone out for a ball of chalk in the betting as far as I'm concerned. I know this is a decent field, but 66-1 is just too big on Matthias Schwab.
Yeah,
so he's my number one selection.
Yeah, I like that. I was looking right down the betting. I looked at 150s on Scott Jamieson, who's played well here in the past.
175 actually now.
Is he?
I'm seeing, yeah.
Need to refresh my browser. Oh, that's sort of...
Yeah.
Maybe I can't let that go. But the one I'm going to have a bet on, because I do think if you look at who wins this sort of event, it is very classy winners.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for Shane Lowry at 25-1.
Okay. Two from the top.
Yeah. Carroll. Or who's the other one? Now, countdown.
Oh, is it still Nikua, is it? What is his name?
What was his name?
Forgotten the name. Rachel Riley.
Yeah, Rachel Riley.
Yeah, I was thinking of the presenter, not the...
Yes. Shane Lowry. He missed the cut last week, and you think, oh, well, he's, you know, I don't know, what's he done over the winter? But obviously the week before, he'd finished runner-up in the Hong Kong Open. Mm. So I think last week was an element of having to defend. And if you look how he missed the cut, he bogeyed the last 2 holes and the last is a par 5. He made a complete horlicks of it. He chipped into a bunker. It's almost like it just wasn't meant to be. So I think you can quickly draw a line under that, and I think he'll, you know, refocus. He holidays in Dubai with the family. Remember Stephen Gallagher used to do that and then come out and win. So it's a place he does really like, Shane Lowry. As for course form, it didn't play very well here to begin with, but he was 12th last year, and I think maybe that got him over the hump a little bit. He'll know how to play it, and definitely the wind is a thing. I think that will help his chances on the weekend. And I just think he'll be fresh and ready to go here after last week. Get it out of the way. Defence, it's all lots of calls on his time. I think he'll be a little bit under the radar. Yeah, ideally I'd want a little bit bigger, I have to say. But I think 25, he fits the profile of a classy winner. I think he can definitely run into a place and put last week completely behind him.
What about Bob McIntyre?
Yeah, well, he said he didn't play last week. He said he sort of wasn't ready.
Yeah, he needed another week.
What does that mean? Does that mean he's so far?
I think he was... He's had some sort of injury, hasn't he? And he just said he needed just one more week.
A bit suspicious of that.
If it's windy this week and you fancied him last week, it sort of leads it.
But then fancied him maybe on that course rather than...
This one.
Not so much can't play this one, but... Yeah, when I saw he wasn't in the field and why, I just thought, right, I'm not rushing to back him against so many in-form, you know, players who were already up and running.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going with Erik van Rooyen as my second selection. I just think the price, again, 40-1, I think, is really big. His breakthrough came in the Scandinavian Invitation last year, but there are certainly bigger days ahead for Erik van Rooyen. Looks destined to compete in some of the massive events on tour. Hopefully it can start this week. His birdie average is something I looked closely at. Van Rooyen makes a ton of birdies, ranked 4th in birdie average on tour last year, 38th in par 5 scoring, both ticks in those boxes. He missed the cut here last year, and I think that's why he is this sort of price.
Yeah.
Finished way down the field, 119th in the end, but I just think he's a different player now, and he's coming to the boil as well. Progressive form figures, 12th last week, closed with a 66 on Sunday. I just think he's a really good bet at the prices, so 40-1 Erik van Rooyen is my second selection. I think he'll go well.
What about Jazz?
Yeah.
Jana Watanand. Watanand.
I thought he was the right price at 33-1. Can see him going well, but does he deserve to be in and around Keimer and Willett?
I saw an opening show from another bookie and he was about fifth favourite. And yeah. I thought, oh, hello. Yeah. That smacks of sort of Sean Norris the week, you know,
yeah,
when we didn't.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But obviously, his form's great, but can he just step it up amongst all this lot?
He's shown that he can compete in massive events, hasn't he? That US Open performance.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I thought 33s... I preferred Rafa Cabrera-Bello, in fact, at 30-1. But he just looks sure to go well, doesn't he?
Whereas in that US Open, it's sort of... Well, they had got experience of the course, but in different conditions. But he's up against players who know this course like the back of their hands.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think, yeah... Be interesting, though, to see how he fares.
Definitely. He's got a huge future,
yeah,
hasn't he?
Yeah, Cabrera-Bello. I thought Keimer as well was close to selection at 33s.
Yeah.
Hit the ball great, didn't he, last week? So he was a close one. Hao Tong Lee won here before and made a good defence of it last time as well. Played well for 36 holes last week. Where do you stand on Thomas Dietrich? Is he a... time form squiggle job.
I thought he was a little bit disappointing last week, having got into contention, wasn't he? 40-1, I don't think that's giving anything away when Van Rooyen's the same price. And
right.
I think Van Rooyen's a more talented golfer than Thomas Dietrich. I like Dietrich, but I think if you said to me now, you've got to...
This old game.
You can have one of their careers from now until the end, I'd take Erik van Rooyen every single day.
Yeah.
What about you?
Probably, slightly, yeah. I think there's something more. I think maybe, as a collective, the South Africans have that kind of slightly edge to them, don't they, where you think they'll just...
I think there's a few really promising South Africans. We saw in the event in Joburg just coming through.
I think I read sort of in the past, because they have to sort of leave home and get on the European tour quicker than other players, so it sort of hardens them up a bit, and maybe it's a slightly tougher culture as well that they come from.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Van Rooyen, I think. I like that bet, yeah.
Yeah. Any others you want to mention just before we move on?
So, yeah, I mentioned Scott Jameson, who seemed to just go out 25 points while I was speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
He won 75. That's certainly an interesting outsider.
Yeah.
The old classic Justin Harding, 200-1 now.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a couple like
quick
that, isn't there?
Quick to sort of vanish, isn't he, in terms of... has a few bad weeks and he's just forgotten about, as if like it never happened that he was 12th in last year's Masters and won in Qatar.
Yeah, yeah. So,
they're my sort of interesting ones of you having an outside flutter.
Okay, let's move on to the Farmers Insurance Open then. And the betting here with William Hill is headed by none other than Rory McIlroy at 6-1. John Rahm is 15-2. Tiger Woods 10-1. It's Xander Schauffele at 16s. Justin Rose 18-1 along with Hideki Matsuyama. Gary Woodland is 22-1. Ricky Fowler 25s. Tony Finau and Patrick Reed both 28s. Sung Jaim and Colin Morikawa both 30-1. And it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. Such a good event, this one. Torrey Pines is the destination in California. The world's best are in attendance. It's an event that's played over two courses. The North Course is the easier of the two. Each player gets a lap of that track on Thursday or Friday, and the other three rounds are at the South Course, which is much, much more difficult. That's been used for this event since 1968, the South Course, and it's a par 72 that measures a whopping 7,700 yards. And we're talking about a bit of a brute in terms of the course as well. And not only that, the US Open doctor, Reese Jones, has had his hands on it in the last year as well, preparing Torrey Pines for next year's US Open. So there's a chance that the South Course might play even tougher than usual. The greens are Poana, which can get bumpy in the afternoon. It's imperative that players make a score on the North Course and hang on the South Course. I know we've had some short hitters prevailing, with the likes of Brant Snedeker and Ben Crane having won this event in the past, but that short game better be very sharp.
Yeah,
if you're thinking about backing a short hitter this week.
And obviously Rocco Mediate had the famous playoff against Tiger Woods. I mean, that's, how did that happen, kind of thing, in terms of he looked too short to contest that event, but he nearly won it. So, yeah, but I still think distance is definitely a factor.
We've got some massive stories that could emerge over the next 4 days as well, or starting on Thursday. Tiger Woods, 7-time winner at Torrey Pines and famously in that US Open that you mentioned. He's looking for his 9th win at Torrey. And Rory McIlroy can go to world number one with a win as well, which I'm sure will be on his mind this week.
Yeah, I had a first look at it last year and was 5th. And you just think this is very much a Rory McIlroy sort of course.
Absolutely.
There's no crazy wind forecast, I don't think, this week. So, yeah, I mean, front three in the betting, difficult, isn't it? You'd think that they've all got a splendid chance. And Tiger, you know, is that anything about can he come out and win again? Well, he proved that in Japan. And now he's here at his most winningest course, as Americans say.
I've still got nightmares about that Rahm win a few years ago as well.
50s, was
yeah,
it?
50s, yeah. Because this is just tailor-made for him, isn't it, basically? Yeah. The way he drives the golf ball. I always think of it as a driver's golf course, I really do.
Yeah.
And he's one of the best in the world.
He is.
With that stick. So 15-2 Rahm could go well. As you said, McIlroy at 6-1
if you had a
should
free
go
bet,
well.
Free bet on those top three, who would you go it? Put it on?
Ooh, that's a question.
I think Tiger for me, just because he's a bigger price.
Maybe Tiger at 10-1. But I've not gone with either at any of the front three.
No, nor me.
I've just got one selection. Numerous players came close to a pick for me, but just the one as things stand.
I had two, but he's kind of been clobbered
Has
in
he?
The market. So I'll go with my first and then have a think.
Okay. Do you want to lead off?
Friend of the podcast, I don't know why, because he never delivers. Tony Finau.
Yeah, I can see him winning. 28-1. Yeah. I can see him definitely going well this week. Yes. He is a friend of the podcast, and you're right, he never delivers.
Yeah. It'd be good if he was an actual friend and phoned in and spoke to us. Maybe we'll get him.
Well,
who knows?
That would help, because he owes us a few quid as well.
Come on, Tony, this is the week.
It could be the week, though, couldn't it?
Yeah. Obviously, course form is fantastic. Played here 5 times, never been outside the top 25.
Yeah.
He's got a 4th and a 6th, so he does land the each-way money. That was 2017 and 2018. Says, you read through the quotes, he just keeps saying he's got a big advantage up in the south course, and his length is a big factor there. So many good performances by the sea as well. He seems to like the sea air in his nostrils.
And that makes the course play, the temperature makes the course play even longer,
sort of,
doesn't it?
Mild temperatures and stuff, which definitely helps him. He likes playing in, you know, you'd rather back him here at some sort of price than at 10s when he was favourite in a poorer
definitely.
Field. So 28s, well, he was 30s, I think, when I got the train in, but 28s is handleable.
Yeah.
Hong Kong Open, he started his year with a 5th place. And then 14th last week in the American Express, where he shot 62 in round 2. So he's up and running, in good form, played well at the back end of last year, had a couple of top 10s in the early event. But came over here and played 10th in the Alfred Dunhill Links, yet again by the sea. Mm-hmm. 9th in the Shriners in Vegas. So he does land around that top 10, top 5 mark an awful lot. Obviously, the problem we've got with him, he never quite gets over the line, but it's got to happen sometimes. And 28-1, you can back him for an each-way return.
Yeah, 28-1, I like that Tony Finau. My guy's just been clipped in a few points
really?
As well, which is annoying, but I'm going Gary Woodland as my number one selection here at 22-1. Was 25s. This has a major championship feel, a US Open feel, and who better to take advantage of the man that slogged 4 straight top 20s at the track and won the US Open on Poana Greens on the Californian coast just last year. Step forward, Gary Woodland, obviously long off the tee, ranked 19th in strokes gained off the tee last season on tour. The putter has let him down in recent events, but the return to Poana Greens, the same surface as he won on at Pebble, has got to be considered a positive. And he really does play the south course well. Came from making the cut on the number last year to finishing in a tie for 9th, and I'd expect even better this year. 7th in the Hero World Challenge, 7th in the Tournament of Champions, couple of top 5s in Asia at the back end of last year. I just think he'll be ready to go this week, and this is a course that he loves. 22-1, Gary Woodland.
Yeah, he's definitely on my shortlist of 4 or 5, Gary Woodland. I think 22s was just a bit.
Yeah, 25s he was when I was writing the stuff down this morning. But 22s, it's just about It's just about doable.
Yeah. The other one I was going to do was Ryan Palmer.
Yeah,
50s.
But
I don't know if 50s is any good now.
No.
It just seems too short. He's
been well...
Yeah.
Well tipped up,
hasn't he? 70s, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was 70s, yeah.
So it's hard to maybe look at that. And do you know what? I've had a live think on air. I'm going to back Tiger. I want to be there on Sunday night thinking, great, I've backed Tiger at a double-figure price on a course where he's won more than anyone else ever, and himself.
And he's coming into it in what looks like good form.
Yeah. 10-1. There we go, Tiger.
Just a few points win now, a couple of points
win. Slightly nostalgic. I think I want to be on Tiger when he wins again, and I keep missing it.
Yeah, I think this is a weak
price,
isn't it?
Same price he is to win this week than he is the Masters. So... Or do you think you would rather back him in the Masters?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
10-1. I said,
but the only negative with Woods is I know he wasn't playing well, but his last five outings at Torrey Pines have, I think, yielded just one top 20, which is, you can't imagine him going on that sort of run at Augusta National, can you, when he's fit?
Yeah, I suppose, but I'd have to sort of go back through the record books and see how injured he was each time he played here.
Yeah.
Because if he was, this normally would have been his first event of the year.
Yeah.
And there were probably grounds for thinking, well, he'll be sort of completely all stiff and needs to sort of get going. But I think he answered that question for me when he came out and won in Japan. I think clearly he knows how to handle his body, knows how much practice or lack of he can get by with.
Yeah.
I mean, be able to play this in his sleep, weren't you, this course?
You'd think so. Yeah, so Tiger Woods 10-1.
Yeah.
Couple of points win, perhaps. Point.
Exactly.
Very good. Let's talk about some of the guys that you came closest to selecting but didn't go with in the end. One for me, it's unlikely a debutant's going to win here. Matthew Wolff.
Yeah, I looked at him just because he's a great driver of the ball.
Yeah, exactly. This course is just...
Yeah.
It's tailor-made for him. He's 66-1.
I think Victor Hovland should be over here instead of
Dubai.
Yeah,
you'd think so, but he seemed he missed the cut last week again, didn't he? So.
He did. He got fined one of the slow play fines.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah. Was it a warning?
Is it a warning?
Yeah,
I didn't catch that, to be honest.
Got one bad time apparently.
But Matthew Wolff, I mean, he's an imperious driver. Even though we've not got a whole load of stats to back it up yet, that big body of work.
Yes,
but he's going to be like top five strokes gained off the tee this season.
Yeah, plus when he won, there was an element of, well, he was sort of missing cuts before then, and is he going to be one of these? Because he looks odd, doesn't he? He doesn't look as classic as a lot of them. And you're thinking maybe his timing's got to be spot on, and maybe he just won't have the consistency. But I think you've started to see that now. Three of his last five events, he's had top 20s.
Yeah,
18th in Vegas.
Last week, he just kind of went off the boil late. I mean, he was up there for long periods and then just went off the boil at the weekend.
But he's 13th in the Zozo, 11th in the Tournament of Champions.
And this is a much better course than that course last week. I thought he'd go well last week, but I think this takes a lot of players out of it, I think, the South course.
Yeah, I think.
Whereas it brings him into it.
That very much brings him into it. I mean, 66-1, but you're saying no. You're saying he's worth a mention, but not a bet.
Worth a mention, but not a bet. Did you see the... I've not got the tweet to hand now. I meant to note it down, but we got a tweet a couple of weeks back.
Who did? We did.
Yeah, we did.
The podcast.
Yeah, the podcast. Yeah. It was sent to me and you, and it was talking about Colin Morikawa's coach saying that he thinks Morikawa will win at Torrey Pines.
Oh, right.
Did you see that?
No, I'm sure I was included.
I think you were included, right. Yeah, I think so. I'll show you it after the podcast. But basically, Colin Morikawa was asked, what do you think? Colin Morikawa's coach was asked, what do you think? And he said he'll either win at Torrey Pines or Riviera because he's a Californian kid who puts Poana greens brilliantly. And he's so good tee to green. Morikawa, so he was another one that
30s.
I had. Yeah, definitely on my mind.
Yeah.
30-1, when you compare that with 66-1 Wolff, maybe seems a bit skinny.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if he went well.
The other, I also like Sung Jae Im at 30s. Yeah. I think
I can see us mentioning him every single week on the podcast, though. Can you?
Yeah.
Until he wins one.
Until he wins one. But if you think he's going to win one soon, 30-1 is okay, isn't it? It's not too sort of prohibitive. It's when he gets thrown in at 14s in terrible fields, you're thinking, oh, hang on. Mm. 30-1. Obviously, he likes to keep the engine running, and he likes to play about 90 weeks on the trot, doesn't he? So I think now he's had a few, I think maybe he'll have some rhythm going.
Yeah.
Had a look at it last year, made the cut.
Yeah.
See him going well.
A few that I liked at triple figures, just quickly. They're all next to each other in the betting. Taylor Gooch, 100-1. I looked at him. I looked at...
He was on the... Do you ever watch that Inside the PGA Tour?
No, I
He was on that,
that
the other
was
day.
It? But did you say I'm going to win at Torrey Pines this year?
I don't know. I was watching it and they were just going on about how great his dad is.
Right, okay.
And then I sort of tuned out a bit. Yes, absolutely. one for the American listeners.
Right, absolutely. Joel Damon, 100-1.
Yeah, look to him.
And Sepp Straeker.
Both of them, yeah.
125s.
Straeker. You ever watched Airplane?
No, I've not.
No, oh dare you. Cultural references.
I will have seen Airplane, but I will have missed that reference completely.
Okay.
Gone completely over my
head.
Yeah,
I looked at both of those. Definitely. Matt Jones at 125 as well. He's been playing well of late.
Yeah, and the guy...
Cameron Davis
Davis, 150.
Yeah, two Aussies.
He drives the ball well, Davis, and he played well again last week.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Day's won this twice, and Adam Scott won here, I think, did he? And so Aussies tend to do well.
Yeah. Just on that, Sepp Straeker, he came straight through the field last week, didn't he?
Yeah, and so, what was he, 13th here last year?
I think he was definitely top 15.
Yeah, Harris English is another one who was very much the rage, wasn't he, at the back end of last year?
Yeah.
Had a string of good results, he hits the ball well. I thought you would mention on some level Jordan Spieth.
Yeah, 50-1, he disappointed me, I had a few
You've had enough disappointments.
Yeah, I had enough disappointments with him at the moment. I just can't. You can't see him keeping the ball on a course this long.
No.
Can you? I just can't see him keeping the ball in play enough to.
That's a problem because contend. Thing these the hard fairways to hit, but obviously if you hit them and you're a long way down there.
Yeah.
But if you're short and
crooked,
wide, yeah.
And he's not one of the longer hitters on tour, is he?
No.
So that's where he's become like average and crooked. And that's not a good combination for Torrey Pines.
Not for Torrey Pines. Get away with it at Augusta again, maybe.
Yeah, and maybe get away with it at the Open Championship if you're not. I mean, you can get away with it. You can find yourself in some precarious positions, obviously, on the links course, but you can sometimes get away with it as well, can't you?
What about just another band of top players we'll quickly mention? Schaffelet, Matsuyama and Rose.
Matsuyama I liked. Rose not as keen on. Schaffelet, I think that 24th place finish last year, obviously he's got a lot of expectation, hasn't he, this event, because he's from San Diego. But this course should be
up his street,
up his alley.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think out of those three, I'd say Matsuyama 1, Schaffelet 2, Rose 3 for me.
Slightly different. I go Schaffelet, Matsuyama and then Rose.
Yeah.
Rose, when he won last year, Rose was world number one. It's like DeChambeau was number 5 when he won Dubai.
Yeah.
So you've got to kind of remember that they aren't the rankings they are now.
Yeah.
They're better players then.
Yeah, yeah.
Or more in form.
Mm. Very good. Shall we wrap up?
I think so. I think we've just discussed half the field, haven't we?
Yeah,
so
we've been through pretty much everyone. So hopefully, if we've not mentioned
we can,
the winner
clip
of both
out that
events,
little bit and say, look, we mentioned it.
Dave, recap your selections.
Yeah, so in the Omega Dubai Desert Classic, I shall have a point and a half each way on Henrik Stenson at 20s and a point each way on Shane Lowry at 25s.
Yeah, I'm going a point each way Matthias Schwab at 66 and a point each way Erik van Rooyen at 40s.
And then in the Farmers Insurance Open, I will play Tiger. 2 points win on Tiger Woods. They're great Tiger Woods. I want to be on him when he wins.
At 10-1.
Yeah, 2 points at 10-1. And then my other one is Tony Finau. I'll go quite confident, a point and a half each way on Tony Finau at 28.
Yeah, I'm going to point each way Gary Woodland at 22-1. Dave Tindall, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's @DaveTindallGolf and @DKellner. And we will be back next week, hopefully, having had a winner on this week's podcast, or at least a couple of places. Yeah, that'd be nice.
And hopefully we'll get mentions from the Dubai Tourist Board and the Bryson DeChambeau fan
club. I'm sure we'll be flown over there to do the podcast live from the Emirates Golf Club next year.
I can imagine that would happen.
I can think that might happen. Thank you, everyone that's tuned in and listened. Check out all the betting at williamhill.com and on the app. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week if you're having a bet on the golf with William Hill. The very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.